Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley filling in for Cody today. And tomorrow, we'll get to the trash of the day in about 20 minutes. We're also going to hear from Jared Wiley, Chiefs rookie tied in here in a couple of minutes. Later on this hour, expected to hear from Lewis Rees-Zammit. They all are speaking as practices just wrapped up in St. Joe.
And it's not Drew.
Yeah, it'll be Lewis Rees-Zammit.
Yeah, not Drew.
It will not be Drew's accent or anything like that. It'll be Lewis Rees-Zammit later on, and then Jared Wiley.
Yeah.
We'll also get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour itself coming up in 1/2 hour. But it is not even just like that time of the summer, but also, time flies to say the least. And already you are starting to see, I think ESPN did one today, but somebody else did one a few weeks ago. These basically top athletes in the 21st century. I mean, it's almost 20. We're in 2024. 2025 is not. We're already halfway through this year. So it is not crazy to start thinking of where everybody kind of stacks up in history already for the 2000s. I mean, we joked, I think, a couple months ago about the Y2K stuff and how funny that was looking back, right? The Y to read and Y2K program, and everybody thought the computers were all going to fall apart and not know what to do when it adjusted and all that. Now, fast forward, we're almost 25 years later. And so today, even ESPN put out what they say are the top 100 pro athletes since 2000. Now, have you seen the list?
I have.
Okay. I was going to. Okay.
I peered at it, but I disagree with some of it.
You do disagree.
Big time, yeah.
The top 10, I'm obviously going through all 100 of them, but the top 10, Kobe Bryant was number 10. Usain Bolt was 9. Tiger was 8. I actually thought Tiger was going to be higher than 8.
I thought that was, he had 13 majors just in this century.
Simone Biles, Roger Federer was 6. Brady was 5. So Tiger Woods and Tom Brady weren't even inside, like they weren't even in the top 3. Number 4 was LeBron. 3 was Messi, 2 was Serena Williams, and number 1 athlete of the last 24, soon to be 25 years, Michael Phelps is who they listed.
Great pick.
Michael Phelps, not going to complain about that. My biggest complaint is that I think you have to have Tiger Woods higher than 8th. And that's not to say that Simone Biles, Roger Federer weren't incredible. I mean, this is a difficult list. These are all unbelievable athletes and accomplishments. I think the criteria on this was supposed to be accomplishments, right? It says, with basically, in considering the best athletes, however, we have expanded our choices beyond North America. ESPN editions from around the globe contributed the nominations and voting process. Voters were instructed to consider only an athlete's performance since 2000. So Barry Bonds, he won seven MVP awards, but only four after 2000, as did 317 of his 762 home runs. It also said other athletes such as Mahomes, Jokic, or Otani have greatness ahead of them, so we'll see how high their accomplishments get them on the list. Mahomes ended up in the top 20. He came in number 18.
In climbing. I understand. Woods deserves to be higher in this. Obviously, he transcended the whole sport. Mm-hmm. Mahomes is clearly the best player right now and the best sport in our country, and I get they're doing this globally, but I would have even put Mahomes higher.
Who would? So it's easy to say that because I'm with you. First glance, I'm like, wow, he should be higher in 18th. But here's who is within five spots of him front and back, and it's like, how are you... Who are you bumping? So right in front of him is Shaq, okay? Shaq came in at 17, four-time NBA champ, three-time finals MVP, MVP of the league, nine-time All-Star. Like, okay, so he's one spot in front of him. Tim Duncan, two spots ahead of Mahomes. Katie Ledecky, who has a chance to continue to add to it, much like Mahomes. Yep. A lot of these guys on the list are retired. Some of them, like Mahomes and Ledecky, have a chance to continue to build on it. Steph Curry, 14th. Ronaldo, 13th. Nadal, 12th. Djokovic 11, and then I mentioned 10 was Kobe. So who are you putting Mahomes in front of? I guess that's the tricky part.
I know Tim Duncan won 4, but again, Mahomes kind of transcends.
Mahomes will be there, but I think, remember, he's still only 28, right? I mean, fast forward 10 years from now, when they're 2035, or when we're starting to do some other 35 years into the century or 40 years into the century, like, then I bet you he's top 10 if he continues on this path. Right now, though, it still is only, what, 7 years, 8 years of Mahomes playing,
yep.
And he's already top 8 or top 20. I mean, that's pretty impressive, actually, if you think about it that way.
Well, he's dominated when you think about when you ask somebody who the best athletes right now. This quarter century, and you just did a random poll, he's going to be on that poll pretty high.
I think
Tiger Woods is going to be up on that, would be a lot higher than this too.
The aspect of accomplishments being a big factor, the biggest factor, it's really hard to make these lists. It's really hard to make these lists because you could argue how good of an athlete, a pure athlete,
sure,
is Tom Brady compared to some of the other people around his name, other football players who are pure athletes. I think that's always, it's interesting when you look at certain players and what they do, or just terms of athleticism in general, because Tom Brady obviously has all the accomplishments of what a quarterback is. In terms of being a straight up athlete, though, should Tom Brady be that high on the list regarding just pure athletes?
But the list they said was most, they ranked the top 100 most accomplished athletes.
Right. So that, I think you have to, Tom is in that conversation then. And maybe even Katie Ledecky should be higher on the list because of what she's accomplished. Novak Djokovic is the leader in men's singles titles.
24 Grand Slam singles.
And he's behind Roger Federer. I love Roger Federer. But I think Djokovic, if we're talking about pure accomplishments, Novak Djokovic should be the highest men's tennis player on the list.
I think it's because Federer's won the most Wimbledon titles,
sure,
ever,
and
right?
And Wimbledon carries the weight of that, I guess. You know,
I'm assuming that's their thought. I mean, if you go way further down the list, so like we mentioned Mahomes is 18, like just some of the names, just for, you know, somebody texted in, they're wondering where some other, like Floyd Mayweather, 25th on the list, right? 50-0, never lost.
He's probably the highest
five-time.
Is he the highest boxer then? Since 2000?
What other boxer's even on the list, I'll be honest, over the last 20 years? that just speaks to where boxing is at. I honestly could scroll all the way through and see at some point. But like Barry Bonds was 38th because, as they said, a lot of his home runs, this is post-2000, right? They didn't factor in pre-2000 stuff.
Somebody mentioned Lance Armstrong. Is he on the list?
I would assume, yeah. Well, unless they took him off because of the cheating. Oh, he's not on here.
So A-Rod was still on there.
So me, having Barry Bonds in there as high as he is and then not having Lance Armstrong at all is a little interesting because Barry Bonds technically cheated as well.
But he was also a great player before he cheated, right?
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like his numbers were probably Hall of Fame worthy even before the steroids.
Right. Yeah, with Lance,
we don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea.
That whole thing might have just been a bunch of crap.
That is a fair point.
That's the,
Visas are just so hard.
Oh, no doubt. This was fun about it, though. I mean, you think about and you go back and remember some of these athletes, like some of them are obvious, but even way further down the list, to crack a top 100 century list of most accomplished athletes, like go further down the list. J.J. Watt was 58th on this. He never won a title, but he was a five-time Pro Bowler. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was a five-time All-Pro.
Aaron Donald's top 20 with just one title.
Mariano Rivera is a spot behind J.J. Watt.
Correct.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, Shohei Ohtani, who's still playing baseball. He's 62. Baseball, 62. Now, he's only been in the big leagues for, 5 years, something like that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But he's 62 on the list. That seems a little low even for him.
If I were to ask you who are the top three Kansas City athletes of all time, not just this century, just all time.
Yeah, so Mahomes is already on the list. Has to be.
Yep.
If we're expanding it for all sport, I mean, Tom Watson's got to be part of the conversation.
And Tom Watson, definitely.
I know it's not the first name, but if you Tom Watson,
sure.
my goodness.
Eight majors, come on.
Yeah. I think Watson, Mahomes, and then it's tough for the third because, boy, oh, boy.
I'd probably say Brett. That would be my
George
three.
Brett is, yeah, I mean, Salvi's getting there for me, though. But Brett, I understand. Totally get it. Salvi's getting close. Like, if Salvi were to get to another playoff appearance and have another
Both
special
Both of them
moment,
have rings, but Brett won the batting title in three different decades.
No, I hear you.
Connor McDavid's only at 98. I'm a little bit surprised that he's that low.
Yeah, Kansas City, though. But anyways,
who
else?
I mean, I've heard the arguments for Mount Rushmore, Kansas City, and stuff like that. It's not Mount Rushmore. It's just top three Kansas City most accomplished athletes. Now, if you want to go even further, I think a guy like Bobby Bill, because he was third in the Heisman. He won a Super Bowl. He was on the all.
We're talking from Kansas City or played in Kansas City.
Because obviously George Brett, not from here.
Yeah,
Tom Watson actually is.
If they played for the Chiefs or Royals or, obviously, if you're golf, it's an individual.
What if he said born here in Kansas City and lived here his whole life? Be Tom Watson. That's the list.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who we're missing.
I mean, there's a lot of guys you could put on there, but as far as most accomplishments, when you think of like Kansas City and the great athletes that played here.
Yeah, if we're using the same qualifier as the ESPN list, then it's Watson, it's Brett, and it's Mahomes.
Yeah.
From just an accomplishment standpoint. Yeah. If we're just saying best athlete from an athleticism perspective to ever put on one of the uniforms locally, well, then Bo Jackson's part of that, and Mahomes would still fit that as well, and we'd go, you know, you could go and spread it out a little bit. Somebody was wondering who was last on the, I guess you're not last, you're in a top 100 list, you should still be happy, but Charles Woodson was number 100, Ed Reed was 99, as you said, Drew, McDavid was 98, a cricket player I've never heard of, obviously, just 97th, Darrell Revis was 96, and Ibrahimovic and Ronaldo Hino or whatever his name
Ronaldinho.
Is. Sure. Yeah. 94. And then Rory was 93. And then Pedro was 93.
Somebody asked if any UFC made it. Conor McGregor did not, but John Bones Jones did. John Jones is 66 on the list. Joe Burrow did not make the list.
we'll get that all started up. Drew's very upset that he's not on the list.
He's the Heisman at least.
No, Joe Burrow is not a top 100 all-time athlete right now. There's no way.
Text lines wonder about Bo Jackson. If we're talking Kansas City athletes, but
just
Bo Jackson.
Athletes?
Yeah, but this is from 2000 on, so that's why Bo wasn't on the ESPN list.
I think they're going back to our conversation, though.
Because
Travis Kelce's getting, we get a bunch of texts about Travis Kelce, too.
Real quick, how many pre-2000 athletes how many do you think, if you could just categorize or like guess a number, how many athletes from, say, 1970 to 2000 take spots in this list?
Oh, wow.
How many spots are
you
actually
talking Pele
taken?
And stuff like that.
Muhammad Ali.
Well, look at the top 10. I think by that lot, you probably would, if you were not in the top 15 or top 20, you might be getting replaced. Like, you know what I mean? Like Brady's on there no matter what, whatever you do. You know what I mean? Mahomes might go from 18 to fall back to 30,
Jordan,
you know, or 40 or more. Like, yeah, Michael Jordan, of course. Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question. There'd be a lot of maneuvering.
I just wonder,
Michael Phelps still be number one overall? That's the question.
Bo might be.
I think Michael Jordan or Michael Jordan.
MJ would be up there.
I think Jordan would be top five and Phelps would still be top five. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have Bill Russell.
Yeah, you would start really.
Yeah.
For accomplishments, yeah,
but
Bill Russell's up there.
It'd be a tough list. It'd be very
challenging. All right, we'll get to the trash of the day here in about 8 minutes, but I do want to go up to St. Joe. Jared Wiley, Chiefs rookie tight end, spoke to the media after practice today, and these are some of his comments following today's practice.
If I can find it.
Okay. Let me know when we have it. All good. Let me know when we have it. I know Jared Wiley's someone that's getting some.
All right, I got it.
Okay, let's go out and hear that.
Seems like you're already making an impact out there. Just what's been the biggest adjustment just throughout this whole process since being drafted?
I mean, I would just say learning a new offense again. Expectations are obviously super high here, so that's another thing. I wake up every morning and I'm like, you know, you can't have a bad day here because everybody else is going to have a great day. So, I just try to be the best version of me and do whatever I can to help out these guys. That's kind of what I'm doing every day.
I mean, you feel like you're used to learning the new playbook since you've already done it. Just how adjusted are you to this one?
Yeah, you know, there's always some learning curves. This one's a little bit different just because we're kind of going back through some of the stuff that we talked about at OTA. So, I mean, I can kind of dive a little bit deeper now that I know some of these plays. But, I mean, I feel like I'm coming along pretty well.
What are your impressions of Mahomes so far, and how valuable are these couple days where you get more reps?
Yeah, I mean, y'all know, like, Pat's going to, you know, do what he does. Obviously the best quarterback I've ever been around. So, it's been really big, getting to take reps with him before everybody else gets here. Super blessed to be in a position to do that. Just looking forward to finishing today strong and then going out and doing the same thing tomorrow.
He's mentioned your physicality, Patrick. He's mentioned your physicality already before we've even seen you in pads. But just what about the game do you want to show most when the pads are on, when guys can sort of see you as a full, complete tight end?
Yeah, I mean, you just said it, being a full, complete tight end. In college, I feel like I got overlooked a lot with some of these guys who, didn't want to really get their hands dirty or anything like that. I've really kind of tried to pride myself on being that complete tight end who, if it's third and one or if it's, third and 10, I'm not coming out of the game. Just kind of proving to myself and proving to everybody else that I can do that at this level. I mean, that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
You and Pat look like you have an early chemistry, especially in the red zone. In your eyes, what qualities make a good red zone target?
Qualities, I mean, I would just say once you get in the red zone, everything is a lot faster, a lot more physical. And you really got to know kind of what's going on. Not only if you're looking at the defense, but kind of what's going on the offense, because there's going to be a lot of scramble drill and stuff like that, just because everything's more condensed. So, I mean, you just have to be aware of, like, the situation at whole.
Did you pick up anything from watching Travis Kelce's team?
Yeah, you can pick up a lot. His knowledge of the game, whether it's of our offense, obviously he's been in it for a while, or just knowing what the defense is going to do and how he can kind of manipulate his routes or, change what he's doing to make them think that he's doing something else. That'd be the biggest thing that I'd say that I've looked at so far.
I thought you said a couple of days ago that making you and Frank have to be testing you mentally. Do you kind of get a sense of that's happening now, the testing what you can do?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's every, that's every camp, that's every rookie. You get out here, you've never done an NFL training camp before. You have no idea what to expect. It's easy on day two to be like, I'm loving this. But, what's going to happen day 15, 16, whenever, you start to get tired, the pads start to come on, practices get a little bit longer. So, I'm excited for it. I'm just trying to be a sponge right now and just take in everything that I can.
How's dorm life and what'd you bring?
Oh, I didn't even bring a TV. I was like, you know what? We're staying in the dorms. I'm not worried about it. Actually, the dorms aren't that bad. The bed's pretty comfortable. But, I mean, I go up there just to sleep. If we have a break, I go back into Normatex, do something. But, yeah, I'm not worried about where we're staying.
So what are you doing in between meetings then, since you're not going back up to your room?
Yeah, so, like, I'll go eat lunch, and then I'll come back, probably do some contrast tubs, get cups, something like that. Just, Coach Reed told us yesterday, like, these days will snowball on you. So you have to really stay ahead of, your hydration, your nutrition, your, taking care of your body. So, I really kind of took that to heart, and I'm just going to try to stay on top of that as much as possible.
Couple more.
Has Andy had any jokes yet for you guys?
Huh?
Has Andy had any jokes for you guys yet?
Not that I know of. I'm sure they'll start rolling in once the vets get here, but right now it's been all ball.
Do you have any goals for your rookie year?
Yeah, I mean, just come in and contribute. You know, I know what's in our room. You know, we got me, Irv, Noah, Garrett, obviously Trav. You know, we have a really talented group. So if I can, you know, find a way to come in and contribute as much as I possibly can, you know, whether it's on special teams, anything they want me to do on offense, you know, that'd be my biggest goal, is just to prove that I belong in that room and just to, you know, be able to be on the field with those guys.
Thanks, Jared.
All right, so that was Jared Wiley, Chiefs rookie tight end, after day two of the rookie portion of training camp. But he was asked a little bit about the red zone and his, you know, what contribution he could have. If we're being fair, for a rookie to come into this offense, to learn this offense, and to actually have an impact, is the red zone the spot where maybe he, you know, we know even when Jody Fortson was healthy, there were opportunities for him in the red zone. Is that where you see Jared Wiley helping them the most? Because I think if you're going to look at contribution this rookie season, when you have obviously Travis Kelce still as your number one option and you still have Noah Gray, let's not forget, to me it would be if they have a three tight end set or something in the red zone, is there an opportunity for Jared Wiley to get a good matchup?
And he was so good at that, led the nation, you know, in red zone scoring or touchdowns last year at TCU, led all tight ends in touchdowns last year at TCU. He just has that knack. I'll never forget, we had Sonny Dykes on Character Concerns right after the draft, and he was talking about how a lot of players will come to the sideline, tell you what's open and what's not, and he just, whatever, just shakes his head. But he said Wiley would do that, and he'd be right. He'd go back and look at it, and he said that Wiley was usually right about that. Remember at the Super Bowl when Kelce was getting mad at Andy Reid there on the sideline, little interaction they had there? It was because he was out of the game, and Blake Bell and Noah Gray were in there for the blocking situation. So I could see Wiley being dangerous in that area. I could see the special teams as well with Jared Wiley. Red zone target, I mean, Hollywood Brown, for his size, he puts up a lot of touchdowns. Kelce's your red zone threat. Can Wiley be that guy? I'd sprinkle in a few, maybe. I mean, he is your third tight end.
Yeah, it's not about hating on the guy and what I think he can be in the league. I just don't know how much of an impact he can have in year one, you know, and I'm trying to balance the normal training camp discussion and talk, because there's always a couple players that, whether it's the media or whoever, right, like that ends up fans, that everybody overinflates what they're actually capable of for the season based off of what they do at camp. Doesn't mean that I don't like the pick. I do like the pick. And I think red zone is where he can have an impact, because Noah Gray, his rookie year, played in 16 games, had 10 targets. In his second year, he played in 17 games, had 34 targets, 28 catches, 300 yards. Last year, Noah Gray, 17 games, started 10 of them, technically, the way they break it down, whatever. But 41 targets, 28 catches, 305 yards, 2 touchdowns. I'm just saying, like, let's pump the brakes on, like, Wiley's not stepping in and getting, you know, 50 catches and 600 yards. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's, can he be a 250 yards, but he has 3 touchdowns? Oh, that'd be a great rookie season for a third string tight end.
Yeah, and if a tight end gets hurt, obviously, you know, Noah Gray steps up in that position. But the Chiefs run a lot of 12 and 13 personnel at some point, at least 12 personnel, well, a lot, having the double tight ends in there. Will he have an impact? Yeah. We are talking about the third tight end. Do I think he's better than Blake Bell? Yeah. I think the position's got better. It's got deeper. Noah Gray has been taking these steps each and every year. Then you throw Jared Wiley in there, that I think he gives you more of a pass-catching option than a Blake Bell did. And I mean, listen, they're both former quarterbacks. I get that. They have this, and so is Kelce, if you want to go back to, you know, what these guys originally were. A lot of tight ends were former quarterbacks. But the fact is, I feel the position is better. The position is better than it was last year, because I think Wiley's better than Blake Bell.
Yeah, and I'm assuming Irv Smith will just be the odd man out.
I think so.
Right?
I think so. I mean, practice squad plays for him, but top three to me is set.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
All right, this one has to do with weddings. We, as a station, we were all just at a wedding, Rob Brin's wedding, a couple weeks ago.
Very nice.
It was a very nice wedding. We had a great time. I saw this on Reddit, though. There was a discussion happening because a couple was invited to a wedding, but there's a catch with that. Basically, she had to perform babysitting duties. In the invitation, there was a note that said, hey, you're one of the ladies we would like to help watch the kids in the other room during the wedding. And it said, we need your husband and you to pay for your meal at the wedding. So that prompted a huge discussion, and people are like, you know, are in utter shock about the bizarre wedding invitation. Look, if you can't afford the meals for the people you're inviting at the wedding, then maybe you don't have the wedding. Maybe you have a smaller wedding. That is very tacky. You can't be inviting people to your wedding and then say, oh, yeah, by the way, it's going to be $100 for you guys to eat this dinner at our wedding. You know, you don't have the wedding that way then if you can't do it that way. I'm not saying their weddings are super expensive, outrageous. Not saying they aren't. But you can't invite, like, if I invite you, Bink, you're not expected to pay for anything at the wedding. What are we doing?
No, the cash bar, it does still exist in places. I don't like it. Come here, you give people drinks for free. I mean, it's just the way weddings work. But $100 each for her and her husband, $200
and
for them.
And she had to watch the kids.
I would have said no. I don't even know if I would have sent him a toaster. It'd probably be a picture with a middle finger saying, ah, we were friends, but not anymore. But it's getting outrageous. With these, I know my daughter had this, you know, went to this wedding, and they had these showers everywhere. There's one like St. Louis. There's one here. There's one out where everybody got together in Arizona. It's like all the money they were spending on this wedding was crazy, and they bought their own dresses or whatever, and the guys had to pay for their own tuxedos. I mean, that's a big question, too. Do you make your groomsmen pay for their tuxedo, or do you pay for it? I mean, to me, if you don't have all the money in order.
That's a little different, though, than asking your guests to.
Paying for food. I think paying for drinks isn't cool either, but.
This
I just wouldn't go.
Food especially. Food especially.
So it says, at first the woman said she was beyond stoked. I love weddings. Although she initially ignored the index card.
Weddings?
Once she looked at it, she found a rather surprising note. While her husband was invited to the wedding reception, the note indicated that, quote, I'd be in another room helping to babysit all the children there with several other female invitees.
Forget that too, man.
There's a special room for children at the church. That's where I'd be. For everything, I'd still need a dress for a wedding in case I wind up in any photos, but I'd be taking my reception with the children, and I'd be with all the kids for the ceremony. In addition to that, it would be the meals for my husband and myself would be 100 each. I'm sorry, not 100 for the couple.
100
each. And they have a link to pay for it when they digitally RSVP. You got to pay ahead of time.
Please, Venmo here.
You can't be doing the wedding if you're going to be having to ask people. Sorry.
Paying for the meal is already egregious, but asking one of the people who, asking them to take care of the kids or whatever, like it's not, you know, you're not volunteering to take care of the kids.
Yeah.
While the adults do their thing.
Usually a lot of people get a sitter for the kids anyway before you even go to the wedding.
That's what Cody did.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So you can have a good time and have a good night out.
Plenty of sets. Yeah, that was just crazy.
Rob did not do any of these. Everything was on the house.
No.
Rob's wedding.
No, they did it right.
The babysitting
nice
thing
wedding.
Is insane, actually.
Yeah. It's just so
that's
rude.
More insane
so
than the food, I think.
I mean, but yeah, that's...
It might be.
That's the babysitting thing is just flat out rude. The other one is just tacky and like, what are you doing? But flat out rude to expect somebody to watch.
And she said she likes weddings.
Yeah, I mean, like, weddings are fun, right?
No, they
this kind.
Receptions are fine. Weddings suck, man.
Well, that's the whole. That's
they do.
The
Alex,
whole thing.
When they're long, it's
the
like
whole thing,
when they're
Bank.
Short. Like Rob's was great because it was nice and short. It was perfect. But weddings in their entirety, it's boring.
Hang on,
it's incredibly boring. If your groom's waiting, if they're standing the whole time, it sucks.
So if Rob's wedding was 15 minutes longer, would you have been thrown a fit?
Nah, probably not. No, I mean I was fine.
Weddings are fun,
but Rob, the receptions are fun.
But that's part
there's
of the wedding, Bink.
There's a big difference.
You mean you're saying
you mean
the ceremony?
The ceremony at the wedding sucks.
Okay, but
the reception's
wedding
good.
Is,
yes, the receptions are good.
Okay,
the actual Rob's was cool because it was funny. I mean, I loved the whole thing. They were making jokes and everything else. It was funny how they were doing it. But typically, going to weddings sucks. The reception, that's fine. It's great when they're in the same place. You don't have to travel to something else.
Yeah.
I mean, be honest, guys. I mean, you guys are laughing here, but you guys know.
No, I know.
The actual wedding ceremonies suck. They do. There's nothing about it. The only thing I can think of is how soon are they going to be getting a divorce lawyer?
Oh,
with a divorce rate of 50% in this country? I'm not kidding. I'm sitting there going, hey, if I was a lawyer, I'd be like handing my card out. Like, hey, don't forget to call me in 5 years.
Bink is speaking from experience here.
Guard your stuff.
It's gorgeous.
Weddings are a lot like funerals, man. They just
oh my
suck.
Goodness.
That's the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. What Andy Reid had to say once again about a question that he gets asked all the time. And what one NFL executive says is still the one area where Mahomes has never improved.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
There is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs.
On your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo, if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold, every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll go back up to St. Joe and check in with Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider. He's already been up at these first two rookie and QB practices at Mo West, and we'll get his perspective on some of the comments yesterday from Xavier Worthy, today from Jared Wiley and LRZ. We're going to hear from Luis Rhys-Ammitt here momentarily, as a matter of fact, as he continues to be one of the more fascinating players heading into the season. Not only his story coming over from playing rugby, but is his role going to be the kickoffs? Is there a bigger role for him? Mahomes has raved about him in his, 24 mile per hour is what they've got him at on the, whatever the pads that the Binks rolling his eyes. He can't stand that.
Hater. He's faster than him. That's faster than Tyreek.
Hater.
On, man.
Such a hater. So
I question things, man.
We'll hear from LRZ coming up in just a few minutes. But I did want to go back to Diana Rossini and Chase Daniels interview that they had with Andy Reid.
It's an Athletic podcast they're doing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's from the Athletic.
But they started this, I believe. Chase is awesome, by the way.
We had him on Radio Row. Yeah,
he's awesome.
He's gotten more and more involved in media. He did some NFL Network stuff last year.
With the 33 team, or the 33rd team, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, I think he's dabbled in like four or five different places. And I think, I don't know if he's freelancing for a bunch or who he's full-time
he's
with.
He's doing a lot now.
He's definitely doing a lot. And this one was an interview we did with Diana Rossini at The Athletic, and they went out to Arrowhead, and I don't know when the actual interview took place, but I know the interview came out a few days ago and caught up, and I watched the interview. I think it was, what, 15 minutes long or something like that, and one of the last questions was just about Andy Reid's future, and I still think most of this stems from Mike Florio, as we said, in the retirement questions, but I still think the way Andy Reid answered this question, it totally sounds like a guy that's not hanging it up anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember when my parents retired, I said, how'd you know it was time to retire? I mean, you hit 65 and then you retire. I mean, what is it? And they said, you'll just know. You know, you'll know when it's time to go. And
have you been close? Have you been like, you know what, this is it?
Yeah, I really haven't thought about it. I mean, I enjoy doing what I'm doing. I know I'm on the bottom side of this thing and not on the top side of it. So it's coming. But I don't know when it is. And this is a great place to coach, and I've got good players, and so I'll be 71 at the end of this contract, and that seems like really old. so we'll see where it all goes.
Just doesn't sound like somebody that's thinking about hanging it up. I think, one, he just signed a new contract, first and foremost, which, as he said, he would be 71 at the end of it. Then I think it's a fair question at that point. But it never made sense when we would compare him and Belichick, and national media would compare him and Belichick from an age thing. Like, he's younger than Belichick, and nobody ever questioned where Belichick is at. And if we're simplifying the question about retirement, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, if you're healthy, you don't walk away from having the best quarterback maybe in NFL history. You just don't.
Asking these questions in the offseason is one thing, but asking them during camp when guys are getting up early and going through the grind and doing all that. But Andy Reid sits fourth all-time in wins, in just regular wins in the NFL. He's only five behind Belichick for postseason wins. I mean, there's that whole legacy quotient. I understand this question, maybe if he's in his 70s, but the dude is 66 and will be the entirety of the not till next March. Well, he turned 67, so I think people are looking for the story. And Diana wanted me to say, hey, you know what, Diana? I'm going to retire in 3 years. There's your story. I mean, he's not going to say anything. I just wish Florio wouldn't have put that out there, because that kind of a silly narrative, to be honest with you. Why would a guy that's going for a three-peat, a guy that just keeps racking up Super Bowls at this point in his career, has the best quarterback that he'll ever have, arguably one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, there's no reason in a fan base like this, yeah, you're not retiring. You're in a perfect situation with this football team. A great front office, doing great on the drafts. Everything's coming up roses for the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, why would you even contemplate anything walking away? Because if you did, you'd be missing this. Like, this is in his blood. This is who he is. I mean, some people are just wired differently.
His whole life.
This is his thing. I think he'd get incredibly bored if he wasn't doing this. He likes to, you know, put a schedule down for what the workout's going to be at training camp. Everything's down to a science. He knows what he does during the off weeks and the bye weeks. He knows he loves watching film. He loves doing all this. But this is who he is and what he does.
I hope this is the last time that we talk about that this year, frankly. You know, I understand the question from Diana Rossini. And
talk to him about cheeseburgers.
But I'm hoping that when we fast forward to January, that Florio or anybody else doesn't make that the Super Bowl story again. If the Chiefs are heading down to New Orleans for another Super Bowl, going for a three-peat, that obviously should be the story, the biggest story ever. But I would hope that people don't try to make that future coaching retirement stuff again, because Florio did it for three straight years. So I would hope that this interview, this last answer, this interview this week from Diana Rossini, I hope that is the end of it. I'm afraid that it's not. To me, it should be the end of it for a couple years.
I just would have put three Super Bowl rings on, showed her the hands, say, I got to fill these hands up.
Yeah.
I got to fill these hands up. Ask me when these are filled, and then I'll answer the question. I can see him going for another 10 years, to be quite honest with
you. Yeah, I don't know if it's 10. I think that's probably a bit much. But
I think he'll go the whole Mahomes contract.
So I don't know about that. I think he's finishing out the rest of this contract, at least, though. I think so. 71 years old. Maybe they got another ring or two at that point in time.
Pete Carroll was 72 when he got out coaching.
Yeah, I think
it wasn't his choice. I mean, to get
he wanted to keep going. Yeah. He's a young 72.
Oh, Pete Carroll, the energy he has running up and down. I think that's why people didn't question Pete Carroll, even though he's older, is just because of that, which is unfair. But I think that's what it is. People have perception of individuals. But as long as Andy's healthy, yeah, I think he's going to keep on coaching. Well, and
Belichick's 72, but everybody's talking about, well, he had a bad season to go, but not retiring. They're talking about where he's going to go next. Yeah, but with Andy Reid being 66, that's the question. It's like, I don't get it.
He said he intends, talking about Belichick, that he intends to coach next year. He was quoted here recently, and the odds offshore are out on where Belichick could coach next year. And you're not surprised to see the team with the best odds is the Dallas Cowboys, even money. Then the Eagles, 5-1. Makes sense, right? If Sirianni, who got to stick around one more year, they brought in all new coordinators. If this thing falls downward again, then they're going to move on. I actually think the Eagles are going to win that division and bounce back in a big way.
They deserve kind of to be fired last year, to be quite honest with you.
Bears 6-1, which, why, you know, why, again, I have a, at that point, it'd be a second year quarterback in Caleb Williams. Why would I bring in a defensive minded head coach? To me, that doesn't make any sense.
But you'll have to weigh the options because it's going to probably be a quarterback that's better than Dak Prescott.
And then Vegas listed at 8-1.
But he's got a 24-year-old girlfriend. Hey, do you want to go to Dallas?
Do you think this time next year they're still together?
Probably. I mean, is bringing him, making him young, right? I mean, the guy was doing the Taylor Swift concert overseas, right? Sitting there with Mahomes and Kelsey. I mean, the guy's, for a 72-year-old to be globally traveling like that, and, you know, and dating a 24-year-old, I give him props, man. I give him big props for being 72 and dating a 24-year-old. That might be his most impressive feat, to be honest with you, besides the 10 Super Bowls that he participated in. Dating a 24-year-old at 72 is damn impressive.
I don't think if he's coaching next year, they will not be together still. That's how I view it. Like if he's coaching,
like a 25-year-old or something?
If he's coaching, they will not be together. He's not going to be coaching the team while he's dating this 24-year-old.
But what if he likes her? What if he's going to get married to her?
That's great.
He's definitely not charging people for food.
Yeah, the wedding would be nice.
Yeah. It would be. No cash bar. For Belichick, I mean, I don't think people put enough stock into this, dating a 24-year-old when you're 72. I mean,
enough stock. What do you want them to do? Give a man a round of applause or what?
And boring and everything like this. It's like, man, Bill's out here living his best life,
no,
man.
I mean, she knows what their arrangement is.
But
that's why.
As a former cheerleader, wouldn't she?
I think, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, props to this guy, man. I mean, you can say all those narratives about Bill Belichick, but what he's doing now. I mean, how many other 72-year-old coaches, you know, going out and dating a 24-year-old? You just don't know it. There's just none. This is new territory.
So you're giving him, you're hyping him up a little bit.
I think this is the most impressive thing he's ever done. And he's done a lot of impressive stuff. Yes, 100%. This is his best score.
She knows what it is.
He should know what it is as well.
Props to Bill Belichick, man.
It's a financial arrangement, I'm sure. It works out for both parties.
Relationships, usually, you know. Give and take.
Is it? I mean, it's.
Yeah, text line's right. It's not impressive when you're rich and famous. It'd be impressive if just random 72-year-old dude. But no.
It's still impressive anyway.
If Bill Belichick was Bill Belichick the accountant, she's not dating him, obviously. I mean, it's no brainer of the most obvious thing ever. So that's why it's not as impressive.
It's you're taking something away from it? How many other coaches do you know that go out and date a 24-year-old?
Coach Bink, if you're John Johnson, who lives in Eads, Colorado, and you're dating somebody who's 25.
He landed a gold digger. Impressive. Congratulations.
Any 70-year-old dating a 24-year-old is impressive. I'm sorry, it is.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. I'm just saying, like, it's not.
Is it really dating, though? Is it really dating?
They seem to be really happy going across the globe to concerts, doing things.
Of course, she is happy.
Someone wants to know, how old was your cheerleader, Bink?
What's more important, gravy training, a Tom Brady Super Bowl, or dating a 24-year-old? It's a very simple answer. It's a 24-year-old.
Gravy training.
Well, nobody has as many rings as Tom, and other 72-year-olds. There's some other 72-year-old that's dated a 24-year-old, so I'll go with the Super Bowl rings. More impressive, actually. Mm-hmm. Nobody else has ever coached a quarterback with that many rings, so I'll go actually and say
I think it was funny. It was at a Taylor Swift concert overseas. Was it with Mahomes and Kelsey?
You didn't answer the text line, being 913-586-7610. How old's the cheerleader? No? No.
Not going to.
Okay. All right. Let's go out to training camp, shall we? Hear from LRC? Bink's favorite running back / kickoff returner, Luis Reese Samet.
Oh, they said you were pulling it up. All right, hang on.
No, we got it. That's my bad.
What's been the biggest learning curve so far?
I think it's just learning all the plays. So different to what I'm used to. Obviously, in rugby, you don't have to learn as much, but I think physically, I think I'm in good shape.
It sounds like you're update.
Really prepared me for this with the conditioning. Just being in physical shape. I think the biggest difference is just mental, just staying on top of things, staying on top of the playbook, and making no mistakes.
Louis, remind me, but before the halfway really started, I think there were days where you practiced in pads, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
How many of those days did you have, and what were you trying to get the most out of before obviously transitioning to being on the pads in an NFL camp?
Yeah, so with the international player pathway, we were in there for about 2 months, pads and helmet. So I was just trying to get used to it, to be honest. Obviously, never training with pads and a helmet is quite unusual, but you know, that really prepped me to be able to come in here and, you know, kind of get the ball rolling straight away, not having to get used to, you know, the pads and the helmet. So yeah, I was pretty prepared for that.
How are you as far as comfort level when it comes to lining up and waiting for the beginning of the play and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm nonstop trying to learn this playbook because, you know, as soon as I can start, you know, not having to think about playing and just playing fast, that's the biggest thing for me.
How many hours, like, are you spending on it just to...
Oh, I mean, we don't finish meetings until 8 p.m. and I probably go to bed at 10 p.m. so an extra 2 hours just learning the plays. You know, because I'm playing catch up with, you know, a lot of people that have played American football since they were little kids, 6 years old. So, you know, there's no time to rest for me. I've got to, you know, give this my all because ultimately this is my dream, and to make it come true, then I've got to play. I've got to be a step ahead of a lot of people.
What's a successful season look like for you this year? Just your rookie season. What's that going to look like at the end for you to look back on and call it a success?
I mean, the first goal is to make the team. You know, I know special teams is going to be massive for me. Been working really hard on that with Coach Tobes and Coach Hill. And just learning the playbook. As I said, learning the running back roles, being able to learn pass protection, and then learning my routes off that. I think, you know, all of it adds up. And the main way I'm going to make this team is by learning pass protection and be able to be a key role on special teams.
And how has the team rallied around you? You talked about you're learning the playbook, you're doing all this. How have they rallied around you and helped you? Or is there anyone specific maybe that has helped you?
I mean, everyone's been so helpful. All the running back room, we're a very tight-knit group. You know, we're all trying to push each other, challenge each other every day. And, you know, we're all behind each other, especially, you know, quarterbacks are very helpful. You know, the likes of Pat, Carson, you know, Ian and Chris, you know, everyone's so helpful in trying to, especially me, you know, a new guy coming in and not really knowing much about a playbook, trying to, you know, allow me to learn, give me time, but at the same time pushing me as hard as I can because, you know, I need to try and learn this quick because there's not much time. You know, training camp's only, 2 months. So I've got to learn it as quick as I can and just give it my best effort.
Louis, if I can, about being in pads for the first time, is there a difference in terms of how you have to run, the running style, or just the overall difference between rugby? Just what was that experience, I guess, like? And is there a key difference that you had to figure out even before obviously joining the team?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is pad level, you know, not standing upright, allowing the defense to give an easy push on you. You know, dropping your body height, bracing for tackles. You know, everything's completely different. So, I mean, it's a completely different sport. So, you know, I'm trying to learn as much as I can, you know, and try and bring what I've got already in rugby to the American football side of it and, you know, just give it my all.
Were you anticipating in kind of your first pad in practice, your first preseason game, even getting to a regular season game, as far as getting that first contact and kind of experience?
Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait to see the difference. You know, I get that question all the time, you know, what's harder, hitting rugby or American football? But we'll soon find out. You know, it's going to be fun. You know, I've played a contact sport since I was 12 years old. We started contact in rugby, and you know, that's bone on bone. But we'll see what it's like when we come to pads.
We kind of obsess over here about metrics. You know, it's all about the combine and your numbers. Yeah. I know you did like a international pathway testing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you ran like a 4.43. Did you do any prep for that? Do you feel like that's accurate of you? Or
no, I was running way quicker than that. Yeah. I didn't have a great day there, but ultimately it got me the opportunity to come here. You know, I was running high 4.2s, low 4.3s, and it came to it, and I just couldn't get my legs going, to be honest. But, you know, I didn't get too down about that. You know, I had opportunities elsewhere, and this was the place I wanted to be, especially with the coaching staff and the players they've got.
Louis, on Sunday, I think you get your first taste of Chiefs Kingdom with the fans
coming
out here. What do you know about Chiefs Kingdom? What are your expectations? What are you hoping to see on Sunday?
Oh, I know they're crazy for the Chiefs. You know, luckily enough, I've been in teams that have had massive support. And, you know, that's always what I want to be a part of. You know, these fans are incredible. Unfortunately, I haven't been to Arrowhead to watch a game, but I've heard, you know, how good it is, how loud the fans are, how obsessed they are with the team, and obviously winning helps that, and we're going to continue to try and do that this year.
Speaking of rugby, I know Patrick said he brought a TV for only two reasons, and one of those is the Olympics. I mean, how are you going to look, how are you going to feel supporting your guys, you know, as they go through the process?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. You know, the Olympics is obviously massive back home, especially. But yeah, a lot of it is sevens. So there's rugby union, which is 15s, and then sevens, which is played in the Olympics. And it's an exciting sport. I mean, those boys are—they're pretty quick and pretty agile. So, you know, hopefully, I can get a little tip or two off them.
When was the last time you were in a dorm?
So I went to. This is confusing because we finished high school back home at 16, and then we go to like a college at 16 to 18 before university. So between the ages of 16 and 18, I was staying in dorms away from my family, about an hour and a half. So, I mean, I'm pretty used to dorms. They're pretty nice here. We get our own rooms. We just share bathrooms and stuff. So, I'm used to it. So,
Lewis, you talked about your learning curve. Is there anything maybe that you're proud of yourself that you're picking up, whether it's in the backfield or running routes? Is there something that you're kind of like, you feel like you're getting something?
Yeah, I mean, the playbook, the coaches are helping me massively on trying to pick that up as quick as possible. You know, I know pass protection is massive. I've never done that before coming here. So it's just trying to pick up things as quick as possible, you know, really dive into the playbook and learn the not just my role, but try and learn concepts as well, you know, from the receivers, ever in case, you know, they want me to jump in there, then I can do a job. So, yeah, just trying to learn as much as possible. And, you know, credit to the coaches. They've been very helpful with me.
Lewis, they were calling you Reese Lightning online. What are your thoughts on that nickname?
I mean, I like it. I've ran pretty quick in my time in rugby, so it's time to see if I can replicate that in the NFL.
Hey, Lewis, you mentioned You mentioned special teams. They've both been pretty creative in the past. Obviously, you can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Lateral. I mean, have you gotten a glimpse of what they might have planned for you? Do you think it's going to be pretty imaginative? Is it even out there?
I mean, no one's obviously this kickoff rule's new, so no one knows what's going to come. So we have got some creative plays, obviously not to mention now, but hopefully you'll see them in the first preseason games. But yeah, Coach Toews and Coach Hill are very creative people. So, you know, I'm just giving it my all on the field and trying to be the best player possible, the best person possible for the team.
That's what we call a tease, Bink. That's what we call a tease. We have to wait to see the creativity on the kickoff. Reese Lightning, Bink's favorite player
at the university.
Heading into training camp.
Tubed.
That's the most interesting audio I've heard from camp, I'll be honest.
To be honest with you, we've heard a lot of Chiefs audio before. A lot of players are going like...
It's at least entertaining to listen to.
He sounds great. Would you let him watch your kids 100%?
Sounds very entertaining nice. To listen to.
You think he should be running the team, not
also,
playing for the team.
Also, 4-2, Bink. He said he could run a 4-2 instead of a 4-4.
Yeah, go ahead and race Xavier Worthy.
How many kickoff returns for him this year? Touchdowns? What, 3, 5, 6? Breaking records?
That's your guy. But he did talk about pad level because you can't run straight up because you're getting drilled to the ground. And he hadn't seen that yet, so we'll see. It's your guy, not my guy, because I'm going to see what he does on a football field. But
kickoffs, that's where he's going to make his money.
I'd listen to him all the time. His update sounds just like Drew's.
Bink,
yeah, Drew and him sound very similar.
It was very similar, to be honest.
We don't need to compare.
Reese Lightning, it is.
Uh-huh. He is obviously proper Welsh.
He's very proper. Talking about the university.
Yeah, so I'll say it in all seriousness, though.
It was fun.
No, but in all seriousness, for someone that's never played American football, and as he described, like, never done pass protection or anything before, you have to be extremely intelligent to be able to already 100%. Be at the level that he's at, potentially, 100%. Right? I mean, like, we can put
the guy sounds like a genius,
yeah,
man.
I mean, I think he's very intelligent, and you can tell. He's obviously extremely athletic, but you have to be really smart to be able to try to learn a brand new sport, and not learning a brand new sport like, oh, we moved to the United States and I'm playing high school football. Yeah. No, you move to the U.S. and you're potentially going to make an NFL roster and have to learn a brand new game, plus the complicated playbook. Do I think his impact this year is anything other than kickoff returns? Probably not. I think kickoff returns, maybe at some point he works in something, some special package they have for him. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun story. It's training camp.
You get to learn to tackle.
And he's going to make the team.
You get to learn, yeah, because you get an extra roster spot for on the practice squad for international players. But he's going to have to learn to tackle. It's a big difference. Yeah. I can see him being there because of the physicality. I love how he calls Tobes Tubes. Little Tubes.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that he, like what he referenced as well, the kickoff thing is brand new for everybody. So I'm entering a situation that is
brand new.
It's not, I'm not behind necessarily in this facet of the game, actually. I'm not as far behind, if I'm behind at all, because it is kickoffs, but everything being so much different, it plays a little bit for him and his advantage to make the team potentially.
And I do think, if we're looking at the situation, is there more attention on him because he's never played and he's coming over from playing rugby? Of course. Yeah. Otherwise, it would be no different probably than another undrafted guy. But so there's more into, like, we're, you know, Mahomes talking him up. I think all of this is more impressive or being discussed, of course, for the story that it is.
It's this year's Justin Ross is what he is.
The difference is, I think he's going to have a bigger impact than Justin Ross ever had last year.
But still, you got to learn the technicalities of football because it's much different. So like you talked about with the pad level and running straight up, because you're going to get drilled doing that. And even Andy Reid referenced that early on in the OTA process, that, you know, just lower the pads. You got to get that. He's got to get acclimated. We're talking about the guy that's, you know, caught the football in shorts right now and hasn't been hit by Nick Bolton, which is a big difference. But, hey, could he be on special teams with Tobes? Yes.
Someone in the text said, why not punt returns? Because I think that'll be Xavier Worthy if he's healthy. Yeah. And the new kickoff rules, which it is a mystery for all of us, but the new kickoff rules where hang time doesn't matter anymore and your blockers are stationary until the ball hits the ground or hits a player, you might want that style of player that Reece Samet appears to be. So
He ran a 4-4, but he was unhappy with the 4-4. That's pretty damn good. So.
Yeah. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, including an open leaderboard update from our own Drew Nixon. And Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider, joins us next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.